William Morrow and Harper Audio present Bring on the Blessings by Beverly Jenkins, performed by Lynette R. Freeman. Prologue. Bernadine Edwards grew up with her two sisters in the modest home of their loving parents on Detroit's West Side. The college scholarship Bernadine won to USC gave her entree into a world she still found a blessing, but more importantly, introduced her to Leo Brown. They married the day after graduation. He went to work as a quality control manager for one of the nation's big oil companies, while she commuted the 90 miles one way to her job as a social worker with the state's child welfare department. For a man of color, Leo moved up the ladder quickly. Inside of 10 years, he was an executive vice president, making enough money for her to say goodbye to her commute and hello to the lifestyles of the rich and famous. She'd hated it. Oh, the money was good, and all the material things Leo showered her with were appreciated. But the more he made, the less she saw of him. They became distant strangers, going to dinner parties and attending charity events, always wearing false smiles. At the age of 45, Bernadine looked up and realized she had nothing to show for her high-class life, except jewelry, furs, houses, and cars. There'd been no children, because according to Leo, they'd have plenty of time for that, after he made his mark. But the time never came. 2 days after their 30th wedding anniversary and the day before her 52nd birthday, Bernadine walked into Leo's office and found him screwing his secretary on top of his desk. Bernadine was furious, of course. Hurt, too. But not enough to cry, woe is me. Nope. She got herself a top-notch lawyer, hired a private detective, and took Leo to the cleaners. She got the house in the Hamptons, the condo in Atlanta, and the summer homes in Savannah, Miami, and Holland, Michigan, thanks to California being a community property state. She also got half of his vast holdings in everything, from computers to sex toys, along with half of the $350 million that her lawyer discovered Leo was really worth. Once all the paperwork was signed and filed, Bernadine drove away from the courthouse on that sunny California afternoon with a cool $275 million and never looked back. After the divorce, she spent the next 2 years traveling the world, Paris, Spain, Egypt, South Africa. She ordered haute couture fashions from the shows in Milan and New York, went whale watching in Alaska, and toured Machu Picchu in Peru. She had as good a time as a woman could have with $275 million in the bank, drawing interest every day. But having been raised in the church, she knew that when much is given, much is expected. And so she got up every morning and asked God to send her a purpose. Then two things happened to change her life. She was going through some old boxes stored in the house in Miami, which she was putting on the market, when she ran across an article she'd clipped from a magazine a few years back. It was entitled A Place Called Hope, and it detailed a small town where older people, foster children, and potential foster parents lived together in an intergenerational community. The town was the brainchild of a professor of sociology from the University of Illinois and was set up on a closed-down U.S. Air Force base. Bernadine found the stories of the residents and their interactions so moving and inspiring that when she was done, her eyes were misty. The children picked to live in hope were the hardest to place. Teens, sibling groups, children with special needs.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?